Usually tight job market, in part due to the coronavirus pandemic, most will find themselves competing for a smaller pool of workers. Many are having to offer higher wages. On Wall Street, the Dow was down 117 points. This is NPR.
Good evening. We have several incidents throughout the Baltimore area. You want to exercise some caution with the crash reported on Bayview Boulevard at the intersection of Lambert Street. Another accident reported in the city. This one on Camden Street at the Pocket Street intersection. Also, we have a collision report on Druid Hill Avenue north of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard at the intersection of Mosher Street. You'll want to exercise some caution there as well. We also have a crash report on Fayette Street at the intersection of North Calhoun Street. Also, another crash reported on the Outer Loop in Rosedale. Along your left shoulder, passing I-95 approaching US 1. Now, as far as beltway congestion, delays are actually improving. You'll just be tapping on the brakes through Townsend on the inner and the outer loop between the Harrisburg Expressway and Lockraven Boulevard. 70 eastbound also stop and go pains for you with backups after the Topsco River Bridge. Slow approaching the beltway. Delays continue on the beltway on the inner loop between I-95 interchanges are made away from Hillthorpe and approaching Wilkins Avenue. This report is brought to you by BGE and Empower Maryland. For more traffic information, log on to Sigler.com. I'm Taryn Galbraith with your Baltimore area traffic.
88.9 FM reminds you that the views expressed on WEAA programs are those of participants and not necessarily those of Morgan State University, the staff, management, or underwriters of Baltimore's home for cool jazz. WEAA 88.9 FM.
From the Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour. Welcome to the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed, News Director. Coming up on the Morgan News Hour, we'll have the latest COVID numbers and how they're causing outbreaks in some schools around the region. Also, Facebook's use of algorithms are leading some to be concerned, especially if you're Black. Finally, we'll hear from a group of Black climbers who are attempting to hike Mount Everest next year. All that and more coming up on the Morgan News Hour. But first, 15 positive COVID-19 cases were detected on the campus of Morgan State University last week, marking a total of 67 positive cases on campus this semester. That's according to our campus newspaper, The Spokesman. Last week, 1,071 individuals were tested for COVID-19 and 15 people tested positive. 9 students and 6 employees were tested positive. The Maryland Department of Health updated its COVID-19 numbers this morning. 411 cases were reported in 24 hours. Currently, the number of hospitalizations are at 765. Of those hospitalized, 9 are children, and 1 child is in intensive care. Sadly, 27 deaths have been reported in the last 24 hours. The state's positivity rate is at 3.88%. It looks like an uptick in cases or outbreaks in our schools in the listening area. Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and Anne Arundel County are among the schools with the highest outbreak in the state. If you have kids in the following schools, you may already know about the outbreak. In Anne Arundel County, Northeast High School has 25 cases, while Chesapeake High School has 24 cases, and Old Mill School has 18. In Baltimore County, St. Ursula Catholic School is reporting 33 cases, while Tally Medical Academy is reporting 36 cases. In Baltimore City, 2 schools top the list. The Friends School has 39, while Pimlico Middle School is reporting 11 cases. In sports news related to the COVID-19 vaccine, the Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving will not be able to practice or play for the Brooklyn Nets until he is fully vaccinated. Under a New York mandate, professional athletes playing for a team in the city have to be vaccinated against COVID-19 to play or practice in public venues. Without mentioning his vaccination status, Nets general manager Sean Marks said Irving has made a decision that keeps him from being a full member of the team. Coming up later in the Morgan News Hour, our students will discuss Kyrie's status. Drug maker Merck has asked U.S. regulators to authorize its promising antiviral pill against COVID-19, setting the stage for a decision within weeks. If cleared by the FDA, it would be the first pill shown to treat COVID-19, adding a new, easy-to-use weapon to the world's arsenal against the pandemic. The FDA will scrutinize company data on the drug's safety and effectiveness before rendering a decision. All current COVID-19 drugs now authorized by the FDA require an IV or injection. Last week, we told you about school bus drivers in Anne Arundel County who want to unionize. Today, they may have a new deal. Student reporter David Lance reports.
The Anne Arundel County Board of Education approved a plan requesting more than $7.4 million in a recurring budget to provide school bus drivers and attendants. According to WBAL-TV, the plan calls for a $5 per hour wage increase subject to contract modifications. The approval comes amid the school bus driver shortage and recent strike at the Annapolis Bus Company. The plan, created by Anne Arundel County Public Schools Superintendent George Alotto, will now be forwarded to County Executive Stuart Pittman. The plan includes an additional $2 million and American Rescue Plan funding to provide for $2,000 signing bonuses to attract new bus drivers and attendants. Retention bonuses have also been put in place for existing drivers and attendants to be paid in installments over the course of the school year, officials said. I'm David Lance, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Let's take a look at the stories around our region. Fire officials in Hartford County say one person was injured when a gas explosion destroyed a house. WBAL-TV reports that Joppa Magnolia Fire Company Assistant Chief John Terrell said the explosion on Sunday night destroyed one house and damaged two other homes. Terrell says one person was taken to the trauma center at John Hopkins Bayview Medical Center with burn injuries, but everyone else was accounted for. Investigators are looking into what led to the explosion. And Baltimore Public Schools are using software that alerts officials when a student using one of the system's laptops might be considering suicide. Stacey Davis is the city school's coordinator of media and instructional technology. The Baltimore Sun quotes her as saying the Go Guardians Beacon software identified 9 students as having a severe mental health crisis, and those students were later treated. But now the software is raising privacy and equity concerns. 2 recent reports warn that such technology could be used for disciplinary purposes, unintentionally outing LGBTQ students, or monitor economically disadvantaged students more often, since school laptops may be their only devices. I'm Brigitte McMillan for the Morgan News Hour.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, patchy fog after 3 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Wednesday, patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 79. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 61 with a calm wind. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 64. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 65. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Chance of rain is 40%. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54. Sunday, sunny with a high near 69. I'm Shine Boggs reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
The current temperature here at Morgan State University is 72 degrees and cloudy. Protests at the White House wants President Biden to declare a climate emergency. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris. More protests at the White House. Indigenous activists are returning, demanding that President Biden declare a climate emergency and stop all new fossil fuel projects. A coalition of hundreds of indigenous, black, environmental, climate justice youth, and social organizations have gathered to say that the president has broken his promises to protect indigenous rights and prioritize environmental justice.
We just want to come together and work together. We want to fight.
Specifically, the administration has failed to stop major projects like the Line 3 tar sands pipeline. He's defended oil drilling in the Arctic and promoted fossil fuel exports, allowing drilling and mining, fracking to continue on native and public lands. Protests are expected to continue throughout the end of the week. For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is looking to force police and fire department personnel to get the COVID vaccine. Here's the latest in our health report.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he may soon force city cops and firefighters, along with all civil service employees, to roll up their sleeves and get the COVID shot.
Mayor de Blasio forced teachers to get the shot, and now he's threatening to lay the same shot mandate on cops and firefighters.
Now we're going to turn our attention to all the other pieces of the puzzle. Stay tuned for updates.
Around 68% of the NYPD is vaccinated. 59% of firefighters have rolled up their sleeves, and Fire Commissioner Daniel Nigro says that's not nearly enough.
Anything we can do to save lives, I'm for.
Noam Layden, NBC News Radio, New York.
Hawaii has reached a major milestone when it comes to COVID shots. 90% of its residents now vaccinated, the first state that can say that. And Fiji is planning to welcome back vaccinated travelers before the end of the holiday season, just after Thanksgiving. Health update, Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio.
Thinking about quitting your job? Well, you're not alone. Student reporter Shine Boggs has more.
One reason America's employers are having trouble filling jobs was starkly illustrated in a report Tuesday. Americans are quitting in droves. The Labor Department said that people who quit jumped to 4.3 million in August, the highest on records dating back to December 2000, and up from 4 million in July. Hiring also slowed in August. The report showed the number of jobs available fell to 10.4 million from a record high of 11.1 million the previous month. The data strongly suggests that the Delta variant wreaked havoc on the job market in August. As COVID-19 cases surged, quits jumped in restaurants and hotels and rose in other public-facing jobs, such as retail and education. I'm Shine Boggs, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Last week, a whistleblower described to Congress what the social media giant Facebook does behind the scenes. How much does Facebook know about you? It uses algorithms. The Black News Channel has more.
Facebook's business model is to collect and extract as much information from users that they can, and then to use that data to show you ads. But what about the ads Facebook won't show you? And what if Facebook isn't showing you that ad because you're Black?
If a Facebook user listens to gangster rap or hip-hop, for example, Facebook is taking note. But those preferences could be creating a racial bias.
HUD, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, sued Facebook. Basically, they were deciding who got to see ads for certain housing in a discriminatory way. That is based on skin color.
How did Facebook do it? Using algorithms. Emily Peterson-Kasten is a digital rights advocate for the group Public Citizen. She knows all about algorithms. An algorithm determines what you see on Facebook. They often use proxies, which can be a stand-in for race. The type of music a user listens to can be a proxy. But without a human being checking, racial biases can set in, and the user doesn't know it's happening.
You wouldn't. That's what's super scary about this. That's why we need people like the whistleblower who brought all these documents out.
The research group Demos uses the term algorithmic racism when contemporary big data practices generate results that reproduce and spread racial disparities, shifting power and control from Black and brown people and communities. The argument is that racial inequality is a feature, not a bug, of data capitalism. Facebook and others are exhaustively monitoring every click and like, and algorithms aggregate the data, which is then sold.
The power inequality of what Facebook knows and what Facebook can sell is impossible for us to see.
To that end, some argue that the algorithms are designed by affluent white men based on training data. That's data that feeds the algorithm, which reflects existing social inequalities. That means algorithms evaluate people against wealthy white men as the unbiased universal norm. One data point, such as liking gangster rap, may not mean much, but combined with other interests can stereotype a person's persona in ways that can lead to discrimination based on a profile made by a computer.
And then you're excluding people on housing, for example, student loans, for example, health insurance, for example, by making these assumptions that may or may not be true, and reducing someone's life chances.
Groups like Public Citizen say that regulators, the FTC, Congress, need to have a window into the algorithms so they can see how they work and force change if necessary.
Last month, CBS Sports radio host J.R. Jackson began his Media for the Movement College Tour, where he provides advice to students about sports and media and the media field. The latest stop of his tour was no other than Morgan State University. Student reporter Tariq Turner had the chance to catch up with Jackson. Here's part one of the interview where he talks about how he started his sports media career and some of his favorite interviews and more.
I saw a big business opportunity. I looked at the sports landscape and I realized that there's a hole and a void. You know, when I started in 2009, there wasn't as much of the social media we have now. And so you literally still only had like TV. You had radio, and online was growing. And I said to myself, if I could carve out a niche for myself online by talking about sports and then listening to what other people's opinions were after that, that this would be something that I could have some success with, because I didn't see anybody else doing it at the time. And so that's the same reason I think it's successful. It's I built the show, whether it's YouTube or TV or where I'm at now on CBS Sports Radio, just to be personable, where people could hear what I say, but then know that I'm going to have a conversation back with them. It's not just going to be me in a shout machine just yelling, this is what I think, this is what I think, this is what I think. Mm-hmm. I tried to create something that was more realistic and tangible to the listener or viewer, that they knew that you can talk to me. You might see me on the TV or you might hear me on the radio, but you'll be able to interact with me too if you should choose.
What are some of your favorite interviews you've done?
There's three. My first favorite interview is Bad English, but my first big interview, I should say, was with Manny Pacquiao. And so my interview with Manny Pacquiao allowed me to then have like a proof of concept. Nailing that first big one let me go out and solicit other interviews. Whether people said no or whatever the case might be, that was fine. But you couldn't take away from what I accomplished. And then even before Manny, I had to do my show on my own. I had to be consistent with it. I had to let people take me serious before I could then even say, okay, I'll try to get a Manny interview. And so I did that. First big interview, I loved it. Manny Pacquiao was getting beat up in the gym, and I didn't think he was going to do the interview because he sparred and exercised all day, but he sat down and he did the interview with me. Another one of my favorite interviews was with Kobe Bryant. Richard Sherman and his brother, I've met them over the years. They invited me up to a celebrity softball game that Richard was doing in Seattle, and Kobe was there. I didn't know that he was going to be there, but he was. And I had an opportunity to meet him and interview him and then talk to him. And then, you know, unfortunately, he passed away last year. But you started to hear stories about how, whether it was athletes or he inspired a lot of people just with his work ethic and his approach to the game and his approach to life. And I had a similar moment where he found out what I did and he kind of just shared words of wisdom, like, yo, that's cool. That's what you do. That's awesome. And it was just crazy to share that moment. So that was a fun interview. And then Pele. Like, I met Pele at the 2012 Olympic Games in London. And Google asked me to host a hangout with him. And then we found out that he was like a couple blocks away. And so they were just like, yeah, you can come meet Pele. And met Pele, treated me like I was his grandson. Saw me and was like, hey, I saw you. Oh, and he gave me a hug. And it was just like meeting somebody with your family. So those are three of my favorites. Usain Bolt was fun. You know, I can't say that I've had too many bad experiences. You know, everything is something to take away. And I remember every interview, like there's always something to remember about everybody, but those are my three favorites.
Do you have any tips on how to brand yourself professionally?
Yes. When you want, you know what? I think the first thing when you want to brand yourself is you got to think about what you want to convey. Like who and what are you comfortable being? What are you comfortable putting in public? Like me personally, I'm a very like private person. As much as I talk in public for a living, you're not going to hear me talk about my family and things like that. I want to get straight to brass tacks. This is what I think about sports. Like, what do you think? My stuff is very direct. I wanted to build community, which is why I'm active on social media. It's why I take callers on my radio show. It's why when I was real, real active on YouTube, I had a segment called Fan Friday, where people didn't just watch my videos, but they saw that I engaged them. that you wasn't just going to get a comment from me in the comments under the video, but that you saw your name, you saw your icon, you saw your question in the video. And that helps build anticipation. And so, you know, if somebody's trying to build themselves or brand themselves, it's very important to try to figure out who you are, like what you represent, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, and what you want the audience to take away. How are people going to connect with you? Do you have a podcast? Do you got a YouTube show? You got an IG show? What do you want as the end result? Because a lot of people can create content and just slap stuff online. There's a lot of people just slapping stuff online. What's going to make your stuff stand out? What's going to make your content be different? And that's where people don't think ahead. Because anybody can have a podcast. Anybody could, quote unquote, do my job or be on air. But you get there by realizing what makes you different. Thousands of people have podcasts. Thousands of people are on radio, TV. And it gets siphoned down when you think about the best of the best. It even gets smaller after that. But the one thing that nobody can do that you can is just be you. And you got to figure out what makes you different and how can you highlight that. That's the key to branding.
Again, we'll have part two of the interview with J.R. Jackson tomorrow. Coming up later in the show, we introduce you to a group of black climbers who will hike Mount Everest next year. And we hear from our Ravens reporter, Cordell Woodland, and get his perspective on the exciting game last night. And finally, right after this break, we'll hear from our student roundtable. We will discuss Dave Chappelle and mental health. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
One place, one station for everyday people from every genre. Jazz, hip-hop, R&B, and neo-soul. A world culture in your face. News, politics. We inform, we educate, and entertain. If it affects you, we feel it too. Morgan State University Radio. We've been here because of you. WEAA 88.9, the voice of the community.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. This is your brother, Carlos Muhammad, host of the Final Call Radio Show, every Sunday at 8 p.m., where we feature the life-giving, life-saving teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We'll be tackling the issues of the day and, of course, giving you that spiritual medicine that we need for our community. It's the Final Call every Sunday at 8 p.m., right here on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for riding with us. The temperature here on Morgan State University's campus is 72 degrees and cloudy. Now let's take a look at the weather around the WEAA listening area.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, patchy fog after 3 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Wednesday, patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 79. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 61 with a calm wind. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 64. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 65. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Chance of rain is 40%. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54. Sunday, sunny with a high near 69. I'm Shine Boggs reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
If you're looking for something to do around the Morgan State campus this week, join our world-renowned Morgan State University Choir. Under the direction of Eric Conway, the Morgan State University Choir will be performing this Thursday, October 14th at 11 a.m. in the Quad. You won't want to miss this special outdoor performance. Now I'm joined by our student roundtable with...
I'm Michelle
Keaton. Shania Butler.
Let's see. Is your mic working?
I don't
I don't know. Can you hear
me? There we go. Now we got it. Yes.
Yep. Hello, right. I'm Rochelle Keating.
All right. We're all set. So we came up with it. We were talking about a couple of topics in the newsroom earlier, and one of them was Dave Chappelle and the controversy that he's receiving from his comedy special on Netflix. It's called The Closer, and the comedy special features several minutes of jokes about transgender people. And we were talking about it to get your guys' thoughts on it.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle, he got a lot of backlash from his series. My take on it is, as an artist, as an actor, whatever type of entertainer you are, wherever you perform and show your God-given talent, that is your safe space, I feel like. And not to, you know, take sides, because I'm kind of neutral when listening in to both sides. Mm-hmm. I feel like he is a comedian, but he does have to be careful on the way he says things and what he says. But at the same time, he is a performer. So that's his safe space to perform.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That's definitely his safe space. And I feel like Netflix knew what they were in for when, you know, they started streaming, you know, Dave Chappelle's shows, you know. This isn't the first time he's received backlash. You know, he's had shows on Comedy Central that, you know, that have been canceled. So, you know, I feel like, you know, Netflix was pretty prepared for what they have received. But I did hear that, you know, one of their transgender staff members stormed into a meeting or
I think it was a company meeting.
Yeah, so now the transgender employees have been, you know, suspended. And, you know, everybody wants us to, you know, understand where they're coming from. And I feel like that applies to, you know, the LGBTQ, forgive me if I'm saying it wrong, community as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we all want to be heard, and I think we should hear everybody out, you know. We are all very sensitive, and I don't know what, you know, caused it, but, you know, I just feel like everybody needs to be open to everyone's opinion, and regardless if you agree or not, you know, people are allowed to have, you know, feel the way they feel.
Yeah, I understand Netflix, from the backlash, says that they're still going to keep the show on, probably because it's, I think, the number one streaming show right now outside of that Squid Game?
Squid Game.
Yeah. So, but they did say that they were going to keep the show on. Do you agree?
I agree. I think they should. And as a lot of people were saying on social media, like, you guys would not be able to handle a Bernie Mac, because comedians are supposed to be, you know, that's their job, to be cutthroat and point out, yeah, you know, the differences and make humor out of it. So, I think it should stay, because it's also opening, you know, a door for another conversation, you know, so I don't mind it being there.
I feel like it should stay as well, because everybody has an opinion and everybody is 100% entitled to it. And it's like, if you're a fan of somebody, tune in. If you're not, you don't have to watch.
And, so, I mean, this Dave's not, you know, new to controversy like this, and I think he says a lot of this stuff, you know, to generate conversation and things like that. Let's move on. There is a so you guys are halfway through your semester, and last week Morgan State highlighted mental health. How are you taking care of your mental health? How do you feel about it?
Me? Okay. So, honestly, I've been kind of stressed out. this is my last semester. I don't know if that's part of the stress.
Mm-hmm.
But, this has been probably one of the most stressful semesters I've had so far. I don't know if it's because we're coming back and we're trying to adjust, you know, getting up every day and being in a classroom again. I don't know what it is, but I've been very stressed. I also had death in my family at the beginning of the year, so I don't know if I'm still, you know, gathering myself from that. But mm-hmm. I've been very stressed, but I'm stronger than most, so I'm pushing through. How are you?
Surprisingly, this semester has been kind of easy. I haven't had, like, a whole bunch of assignments to do. And the assignments that I have had, I kind of like stay on top of it as best as I can. I try to like be as organized as possible. I journal a lot, and then I have like a calendar with things. So I try to stay organized. So surprisingly, this semester has not been like kicking my butt. But yeah, it's pretty good so far.
Yeah, I can say that that's one thing that I did do in the previous semester that I'm not doing now. I'm not as organized as I have been in the past. Yes, I do carry my planner around, but I'm not writing in it as I should be. So I think I just need to, yeah, just step back and just find some organization.
So what's causing that? Are you hearing that from your friends as well, other people on campus about mental health or...?
Seems pretty good for the most part. Mm. You know, I don't know if it's just me, but everyone else that
there's
I speak
just different
to,
stressors that
yeah, different
trigger.
Stressors. Mm. Yeah, and I just have a lot going. I juggle a lot, so that could be just that. But for the most part, everybody else seems pretty good.
And Morgan State is good with, you know, if you're having problems.
Yeah,
or,
so I can speak on that. I actually do have a I take advantage of the counseling center here at Morgan State University. I have been since I was a freshman. So I definitely recommend that, you know, everybody continue to, you know, take advantage of these services because they're very helpful if you use them like you're supposed to. So.
Yeah, and I know a lot of times in like the Black community, therapists are looked down on. Like they don't really want to go there. And I remember I was watching a segment with Michael B. Jordan. I think he was on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and he was talking about how when he played Killmonger and the Black Panther, that character that he played like really took a toll on his mental and his physical. So he went to a therapist, and it really helped him. Me personally, I never went to a therapist, but I have family members and friends who have, and they said it actually really helps them.
Just to touch on what you were saying about, you know, Black people in therapy. Sometimes, like lately, I've been mentioning to people, yeah, I have a therapist. And they're like, you have a therapist? Does that help? And that kind of like, you know, throws me off a little bit because like, what do you mean? Like, I feel a little judged now to an extent. Right. And why do people just have this negative connotation about therapy? It really helps. It does a whole lot.
Right. Yeah. I've known a number of people that have gone through therapy and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Did they say positive things about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have a question. How do you think we can remove this negative connotation about therapy? Like, I know now, like, we're posting signs, you know, about, what is it, stay well here at Morgan or something like that? But what's going to bring people in? Like, how can people be more open to speaking about their problems and actually getting help? Because people look down on it so much.
Right. And I think Morgan attempted that last week. They did a number of events focused around mental health. And it's more of just, I guess, promoting it and making it, you know, accessible. Accessible and, you know, acceptable for people to join.
Yeah, and I feel like if not therapy, then at least talk to someone. If you're religious, pray. If you feel like you need to write in your diary, do that. Like, whatever you can do to keep your mental at a healthy state, I feel like you should do that, even if you don't want to do therapy. But from the people that I know personally that have went to therapy, they say that it is pretty good for them and it has been beneficial.
Yeah.
So I don't judge anybody who goes to therapy. I think it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. So I don't know why people look down on it. Not even just in the Black community, just people in general look down on it.
Back to what you were saying about a safe space. Yes, you definitely need to make sure you have somebody that you can go to about everything. It doesn't have to be more than one person, but at least you just make sure you have one person that you can go and just be yourself with and let loose, because I can tell you that really makes a difference in my life.
Yeah, and keeping a lot of things in bottled up and when it explodes, that's not a good thing either. So it's good to have someone to talk to.
Yeah. All right, great conversation. Thank you, guys. All right, you're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks. This is Dr. K from Today with Dr. K. Angela Davis once said, I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept. And here on Today with Dr. K, we believe that change starts with having conversations that matter. So join us weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. here on WEAA 88.9 FM to have a conversation that will hopefully lead to change.
This is Kelly Avent
and Tyler B.
And every Thursday, we are celebrating our teachers with Thanking a Teacher Thursday.
Yes, as a student here at the Morgan State University, I admire all of the teachers of Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Maryland, all over for all of the sacrifices and all of the hard work you've put in throughout the COVID-19 pandemic.
We are going to celebrate you every single Thursday. All you have to do is email us, gmbmorelove@gmail.com. Tell us about yourself or a teacher you want to recommend. And we're going to celebrate you right here on Good Morning Baltimore every Thursday, WEAA.
Wake up Saturdays with Robert Shaheed for the Oldies But Goodies Extravaganza. All of the classic music from our culture and the soundtrack of our lives from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., including the reinvigorating Saturday morning dance and exercise party from 7 a.m. to 7:30. You don't want to miss being with our music family here on WEAA 88.9 FM for a great reminder of our music cultural excellence. Every Saturday, 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., we are absolutely the voice of the community.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour. We are now joined by Tariq Turner, who is a senior here at Morgan State. He is also the sports editor for our Morgan State campus newspaper, The Spokesman. Tariq, what's going on in sports?
Hello, WEAA fam. This is Tariq Turner. I have some sad news to report. Merville High School football player Elijah Gorham has died after sustaining an injury in a game last month. From the Baltimore Sun, Elijah Gorham, a charismatic football player at Baltimore's Mergenthaler Vocational Technical High School, known for supporting his fellow students, has died at age 17, officials said Monday. Our hearts are heavy today as we mourn the passing of our fellow brother and teammate Elijah Gorham, read a statement from Merville High School Football on Twitter. We ask that our football community continue to uplift Elijah's family, teammates, and friends in prayer. The official cause of death was not released Monday. The senior wide receiver was seriously injured during a September 18th game against Dunbar High School, when he landed hard trying to make a catch in the end zone. He stayed down along the sideline for nearly 45 minutes, and then he was taken to a hospital by ambulance. This past weekend, Morgan's men's and women's cross-country teams both finished in fifth place at the Jack St. Clair Memorial in Philadelphia. Freshman Davion Bryant had the fastest time on his team with a time of 29 minutes, 21 seconds, 6 milliseconds. He finished the 8K run in 24th place. Junior Rachel Field had the fastest time on her team with a time of 25 minutes, 3 seconds, 20 milliseconds. She finished the 6K meter run in fourth place.
So you'll be back in a few minutes with live sports, correct?
Yes, I sure will.
All right. We are now joined by WEAA's Ravens reporter, Cordell Woodland. Cordell, you there? Cordell?
Yep.
All right, there we go. All right, we got you. So it was a great game last night. Lamar had an incredible performance. Was this the best performance of his career?
I think it was. Lamar looked great. I mean, he accounted for over 500 yards of total offense by himself yesterday, over 100 yards passing. And I mean, Lamar just did everything in his will. To make them his win last night, and I don't know how good of a thing that is, but I do know we saw Lamar go to another level last night in the Ravens' comeback win. This seems to be the norm right now. Lamar's looking to be better than any, you know, just as good as any quarterback there is in the NFL right now, and I think last night was the best game of his career.
Yeah, because the Ravens' offense struggled in the first half, and what do you think changed for them in the second?
Oh. All right. His phone dropped. Let's see if we can get him back. All right, so they played your Colts out. Tariq?
Yeah, I was at the game last night. You know, it was pretty weird because I'm a lifelong Colts fan, but Lamar Jackson is my favorite player. And yeah, it was just weird because they were the Colts were up by like 8 points in the fourth quarter, 4.5 minutes left, and then the crowd's about to leave. They're about to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Colts about to kick a field goal, and it gets blocked by Calais Campbell. And then just you know, the Colts, they always find a way to lose this season. So
you have Carson Wentz too.
You know what? He actually was not too bad last year.
He was actually very good. Cordell, are you back?
I'm back.
All right. So the Ravens offense struggled. What do you think changed in the second half for them?
Well, yeah, like I was saying, I think that they went really just 100% relying on Lamar Jackson. Pretty much every run play was a designed quarterback run or some form of read option, and Lamar just got hot throwing the ball. I mean, he had 6 incompletions all game with over 40 passing attempts. That's just remarkable accuracy and efficiency that he showed last night. And, I mean, that bomb he threw to Hollywood Brown, that really got it started. And from that point on, I mean, he just took off like a rocket.
Right. So, you know, look, you're talking about the offense. The running backs for the Ravens were kind of non-existent last night. Is this going to be a problem moving forward?
I think it could potentially be a problem. I think that they're showing that they would like to have Latavius Murray be the lead guy, but Latavius really doesn't have – he's not showing to have that much of a burst.
Mm.
And one thing about him, if the Ravens' offensive line blocks for 3 yards, he's going to get 3 yards
mm-hmm.
and nothing else. He's not really breaking any tackles. Tyson Williams, we didn't see much from him last night. He was inactive last week. Really the best back last night was Devontae Freeman, and that was more so because they got him involved in the passing game late in the game. But, yeah, I think right now the Ravens do have a real problem at the running back situation because they don't want to have Lamar Jackson be the sole
right.
Provider in the running game. They would like to get something out of these running backs. So hopefully as the weeks go on, somebody separates themselves from the pack.
The defense gave up big plays more than they're used to. What do you see from the Ravens on that side?
Yeah, last night the Ravens were really lucky to be down only 7, I believe, going into halftime. I think the score was 10-3 because that first half they were just completely abysmal. And even to get the second half started, they just tackling has been a struggle for them all season. And last night it showed its face again. And even in the passing game, Carson Wentz has not been great this year, but he looked great last night for the most part. Threw for over 400 yards himself, and that's uncharacteristic of this Ravens defense. Anthony Averett had his worst game of the season last night. It almost seemed like Carson Wentz was throwing at him almost every passing play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they gave up big plays. That's one thing they don't want to do, and that's not something we're used to seeing from them. But right now, tackling is a major issue for them.
All right, quickly, Lamar's pending contract was a big deal coming into the season. What do you think right now?
I think the Ravens would have liked to probably get that deal done last offseason because
right.
the more Lamar does, that number's going up.
Yes.
Everybody thought that Dak Prescott's contract would really be the pinpoint him and Mahomes, but the way Lamar's playing, that number is going up by the game the way they are playing right now.
Right. All right. Thanks, Cordell. We'll talk to you this Friday as the Ravens take on the Chargers. All right?
All right. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you. We are now joined by Kendra and Tariq for our live sports segment with a number of topics to discuss. Your thoughts on the game last night, Kendra?
Lamar Jackson plays stellar. I knew this coming into the season with the amount of weapons that he's going to have this season that the passing game is going to open up big for him. I knew that the run game with some questions with them losing their top two backs, but he proved that he's worth the money and he should get paid.
Yeah, the coach, they just found every way to lose the game. Up by 19, then up by 8 with like 4.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. All they had to do is make a field goal and gets blocked. Then they had another chance at the end of regulation to make a field goal, and then Blankenship missed a wide left. So, yeah, they just found a way to lose. But also give credit to Lamar. He had most passing yards by Ravens in a single one game. And he also broke some other records as well.
Yeah, I've mentioned – go ahead, Kendra.
Oh, I was going to say, as far as I know that he had that fumble at the goal line, but he surely made up for it. He came through. He was clutch.
Yeah, I will give it to you. I do think that, and I said it before, that the Ravens' defensive backs are like a liability.
Yeah, they're terrible.
So, all right. The other big news yesterday, John Gruden, out as coach.
Yeah, so when I saw this story, the first thing that was going through my mind was like, you know, like what do people say behind closed doors? Because I know some people weren't shocked by this, but I guess some people were. And then, you know, like, as the Raiders coach, you know, they have, like, the first openly gay player on their team.
On the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael Sam was also, but he wasn't. Did he ever, I don't think he ever actually made the NFL roster.
No, he never made the team.
Yeah.
So, but he's on the, this. Yeah, Nathan's on the team. On
yep,
the team.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. From Westchester. So, yeah, it was just, like, it was, I guess, sort of shocking, but not too shocking at the same time. And, yeah, it was just very unfortunate to see some of the stuff that he has said.
Kendra?
I think it was pretty surprising for me, just knowing that on his football background. But even though those emails are 10 years old, you still have to be held accountable, especially seeing how far we come today with the football player having that openly gay player with NASCAR. You just had to fire him.
Yeah, and I saw that the Bucks actually removed him from their Ring of Honor.
Oh wow, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, as they should. And, like, a friend of mine, he and I were texting last night about it. And, you know, he works in, for the government. But anyway, he says that, what about the people who received the email that never spoke out?
Yeah.
You know, that's that culture where, you know, it's like the good old boy network. All those offensive emails and no one said anything. They were just like, yeah, you know, that's par for the course. So I'm
and then
go ahead.
I seen a report with Ian Rapp report that said that if the the NFL was forcing him to resign, mm-hmm. and that they were likely going to release more emails if he didn't resign. So he's going to keep on coming out to where it started bubbling over.
Right, and that's what I said when they put out the first email over the weekend. You know, mm-hmm. a journalist, you're like, there has to be more.
Yeah, of course.
They just don't mm-hmm. have one email. And, you know, he went on to say that there was no, he doesn't have a, what do you say, a racist bone in his body.
Oh, yeah.
And a friend of mine said, yeah, not a single bone because it's in his heart. The racism. So, yeah. So, Red Sox beat the Rays last night.
Yeah, you're a Red Sox, Kendra.
Yeah.
Did you watch the game?
Yes. Yes, I was pretty excited about it. Them batters are really, really good. But I've seen that a lot of Rays fans were saying that they'd rather play the Blue Jays. I was like, y'all just making excuses, man. Y'all blew it.
Uh-huh.
Y'all blew it.
Yeah, you know, the baseball playoffs, they're always entertaining because, you know, a team can get on a hot streak. And then, you know the Red Sox, they were but one game away from not even being in the playoffs, and now they're in the ALCS, have a chance to be in the World Series. It's just crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
Going back to football, Josh Allen, new betting favorite to win MVP.
Yeah, so I would say if
he got his money.
Oh, yeah, he did. I would say if the voting ended today, my pick would be Kyler Murray. However, I think if both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson stay healthy, I think it's going to come down to them at the end of the season for MVP.
Yeah, also, it's a lot of great, it's a great year for quarterbacks. I also love what Herbert is doing.
Yep, absolutely.
It's mm-hmm.
just
yeah.
hard. It's just a lot. Like, it's a lot of great quarterbacks right now with throwing yards in the air. It's a lot.
Yeah, and it's going to be a showdown between Herbert and Jackson this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Woo.
One final one. Kyrie is out. We talked about it earlier in the show. What are your guys' thoughts? I agree with the Nets anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah, they had to just be tired of all this drama and whatnot that he's giving them. I saw somewhere on Twitter they were pretty much saying that like they just would rather not even deal with it anymore. And I would agree with them.
And this is my thing. He was out for a lot of the season just because of personal issues, missed a lot of money. But if they let him come back right now, which he can't play home games, it's kind of like you're teasing, oh, this is what we could be if you could play home games. What's the point?
Right.
It's no point. It's no point of teasing. If you can't play the whole season, it's no point of even having you back in.
Especially if I was the sixth man on the bench and, you know, I'm only playing, mm-hmm. you know, or at the end of the bench, you know. I want to get my run. So.
And then the Nets drafted a couple of nice pieces.
Cam Thomas.
Draft, so they could step up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. After this short break, we'll be back and learn about a group of black climbers who will hike Mount Everest in 2022. You're listening to The Voice of the Community. We'll be right back.
The sound of a brass instrument has a huge presence within the genre of jazz. From the trombone to the saxophone, its golden sound can't be replicated or matched, only complemented. Hear more of these melodious instruments on Masterclass with Robert Shaheed, Monday through Friday at noon, only on WEAA 88.9 FM, The Voice of the Community.
Not sure if you are a current WEAA member? Call us at 443-885-2075.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour. Now let's take a look at the weather around the WEAA listening area.
Here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, patchy fog after 3 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Wednesday, patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 79. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 61 with a calm wind. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 64. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 65. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Chance of rain is 40%. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54. Sunday, sunny with a high near 69. I'm Shine Boggs reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
An all-black team of climbers take on Mount Everest to make history. Simone Davis from The Griot has this report.
The landscape of the great outdoors is changing thanks to these 9 black and brown mountaineers from across the U.S. Next spring, they will make history as the first all-black American team of climbers to trek up Mount Everest. The Full Circle Everest Expedition is being led by this guy, Phil Henderson, a 30-year veteran in the outdoor industry.
You know, really what prompted me to plan it was the fact that over, you know, almost 3 decades, I've been one of the, you know, very few, you know, black people working in the outdoors and climbing, mountaineering and whatnot. And as the years have gone by and I've been connected with a few other, you know, younger, you know, black climbers, it was just an obvious connection that I wanted to be able to take my experience and longevity in the outdoor industry and really kind of help mentor those folks and provide some opportunities for them that were provided for me at the same time.
The journey to the summit of Mount Everest will take about 2 months to complete. The team will be faced with low freezing temperatures and rough terrain.
Because it's not just the physical, but it's also mental. But things that, you know, your foundation of outdoor skills just need to be second nature, you know. What do you carry? How do you take care of yourself? How to read weather? You know, how to pace yourself? All of these things are second nature once you've been doing it for so long. And that's the point that you really kind of need to be when you're going to Everest.
But accomplishing the impossible is nothing new for Henderson. In 1994, he became the first Black American instructor at the National Outdoor Leadership School, an exciting opportunity met with some adversity.
There's no reception, really. You know, it was hard back in those days. But I would still say 90% of my time in outdoors have been positive. You know, Because really, when you get to this, when you start doing these things, the people that you're with, you have to trust and rely on them. You know, it's you're putting your life in their hands, they're putting their life in their hands. And so a lot of those things, you know, stereotypes and biases, all these different things, they go out the window.
Henderson hopes their journey will inspire other people of color to not look at exploring the outdoors as a hobby, but a lifestyle with endless possibilities.
I just have to say that could be anywhere from working at a summer camp, you know, to, you know, working as a guide on Kilimanjaro or wherever it may be, you know, the Grand Tetons or whatever. We don't even really know the options that are out there in terms of being able to work in the outdoor industry. And those are just some of them. We haven't even talked about engineers and graphic designers and, you know, fashion designers. It's a place that you can work and be happy, you know, and actually have a really healthy lifestyle as well.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University, in our learning lab right here at the studio of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Shania Butler, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Zakiya Jennings, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Tariq Turner, and Kara Williams. An extra special thanks to Andre Melton and Sean McBean for engineering the show tonight.